Welcome to everyone to a Bold Scientist Under the Shower. This is the fourth Friday of the month, the 22nd of June. We thank a lot Radio Onda Italiana and Salto FM that host us as every time. And today we have a special guest, Matteo Merlino. He will introduce himself in a second. First of all, the introduction of the show was the famous main theme of the Goonies, the movie from the 80s, I guess. Matteo, help me out.
I hope so. This is something that I grew up to. Hi, yes. Everyone.
This is the voice of Matteo. So the Goonies should kind of remind you something about archaeology and anthropology. We're gonna talk about that in a sec. Matteo, I met him at a special meeting with the Italian ambassador, which was with other scientists like us, and yes. And I was really impressed by his speech. It was really inspiring, I would say. So now I will leave the microphone to Matteo. I'm Matteo. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, hi everyone, and thank you for the song. For an archaeologist, really nice to not to be introduced by Lara Croft or Indiana Jones. I am an archaeologist, and I work here in Amsterdam, but I don't work, thanks God, in Dutch archaeology. I work in Italy and in Near East. And
you take the money from the Dutch government, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, I like it. I'm really happy that they finance, actually. It was really funny when we met, because everyone was thinking, you're Italian, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Italy to work. But I'm really happy to work in Dutch universities, and I really like the different approach that we can have. I'm really happy to be invited here to explain what I'm doing.
Yes, exactly. So, Matteo, I will leave out all the boring stuff where you've been graduated and so on. So let's go to the core of archaeology. What is archaeology, Matteo?
Oh, archaeology is something really funny, and the name is already, it's a Greek name, it's supposed to be boring, archaeologos, so the love for the past. This is basically say everything and nothing. In the name, you can understand everything because, yeah, you love the past, but what you do exactly? Well, even archaeologists doesn't know. And in effect, archaeologists does a lot of things, from excavation to conservation to understanding the past in some way. And this is what we do. I'm more an excavator, let's say, but other people that call themselves archaeologists, for example, just work on pottery or work on cylinder seals or work on restoration of things, or for example, they just walk and do what is a survey. So everything is archaeology.
So Matteo, thank you very much for this first definition, just to let the audience understand exactly what is archaeology, because I think, and myself also, was a bit confused, the difference between archaeology and anthropology. What is actually the difference?
Oh, even archaeologists are, as I say, those archaeologists are quite confused. But now,
I had to interrupt you, because it's so good and so nice that the audience understand that also scientists sometimes are confused. We are confused all the time.
Yeah, but I think that all science, actually, they are basically mixing different topics, and it's not only a problem of archaeology at the moment. But yeah, to return on the topic, archaeology and anthropology works together. They are, for some kind of research, the same thing. Archaeology is basically currently in the States, in what is Anglo-Saxon tradition, is under anthropology. Anthropology is archaeology is love for the past. Anthropology is something more related to a man. So anthropologists are basically some kind of archaeologist of the present. So an archaeologist, anthropologist of the past, if you want. Also. Okay. So it's really related, and it's a matter of traditions, so it's quite normal to confuse it.
So actually, the point is that with the pottery or the thing that archaeology find, we can kind of somehow define the life of people.
Absolutely.
Or the use of the people, what they used to do, how they used to live.
Absolutely. We are basically, at least every archaeologist have his own personal motivation, but I think that I'm an archaeologist, but I want to understand people and all people. That is basically my goal, my dream. What I really want to know, to understand basically what happening. There is some kind of kindness to have a possibility to reconstruct something that happened 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when I'm Near East 4,000 years ago. You know things that are not in the book of history. Sometimes you even write it.
Okay, great. And so I will leave you with this. I leave you with this little hints, because we're gonna talk so now we're gonna put this very nice song from Morsiba. Rome wasn't built in a day, and that's a reason we're gonna explain you later on why I choose this track, because actually there is it's so much mixed. These two terms are so much mixed that indeed the North Europe and the South of Europe have a different approach to archaeology / anthropology.
Absolutely. They have different approach, not only in archaeology, but have different approach in the archaeological monument, let's call it like.
Don't spoil anything, because we're gonna follow up in the next part. Thank you very much, Matteo, and we see you or EU later. Fly away, don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? You and me were meant to be walking free in harmony. One fine day we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? Hey, hey, hey. Ooh. Far Away, Tex Morsiba, with Rome Wasn't Built in a Day, and indeed was not built in a day. And we discover this thing thanks also to archaeologists. Yeah, thanks and not, because we Romans, I actually come from Rome, probably.
Hate us.
Exactly. We hate you guys. We cannot, so the metro cannot be finished. We always with this excavating stuff. So can you say something to defend the category?
No, we're guilty. Except jokes is perfectly Roman. It's beautiful. It's nice to start with this nice song and introduce this topic, because Rome is a really nice work environment for archaeologists and really nice nightmare for a lot of citizens. It's a way what you want to do and how you want to deal with that. It's really interesting. I have to say, from
archaeology. So, have you worked in Rome, first of all?
Yes, as I say, I'm completely guilty. I really love
okay,
it.
Okay, you not as a category, you as a Matteo.
Absolutely, yes. I worked for a Dutch institute in 2012 in Rome, one of the most beautiful experiences. And I really experienced what you said, actually. For us, we worked at the Porticus Emilia in Testaccio. Mm-hmm. For us, was really when you arrive there, we understand and we feel actually the fear of a citizen. Oh my God, the dust, they are going to open another area. The summer will be terrible. We have basically bulldozer everywhere, dirty people, smelling people, we going around.
But you were searching, just I mean, in brackets.
The Porticus Emilia is one of the biggest, we even don't know if it was a Porticus Emilia, but is one of the biggest monument of the city that was made in the second century, probably. It was reused several times till the end of Rome, and is one of the unknown things of this city that will be nice to discover better, if you can remove all the Romans. I'm joking, of course. but yes, it's a really nice point of view, because archaeology in Italy especially was, I hope not anymore, percepted something like sacred and is untouchable. So basically, people, citizens, are afraid every time an archaeologist find an old wall, because, yeah, it's an house. It's really old. And we have to preserve it. And even we archaeologists sometimes I think, why we are doing that? and it's really interesting. And Rome is a beautiful challenge. You can deal with all this beautiful heritage, really important for the world. Rome is the city that everyone want to live, want to excavate to, but it's also something that we have to find something in the middle for people, for the old Romans and for the new one, that is really important. And it's one of the things that we archaeologists with other people, fortunately, we try to do. And I'm completely sorry for all the Romans that have problems, I have to confess. But it's something that, as I said, is a huge challenge for us, and find a way for Rome, but also for Venice, for example, Florence. But Rome is the most important of them. Matera, for example.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it's something that they are working with idea now that they are reoccupying the Sassi. They are rethinking what we want to do with the cultural heritage. Not anymore just a monument itself that is untouchable.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much for this insight, because that's exactly what we said that before the at the end of the first part, that there is a different approach. Apparently, that's what you explained me before. In how the North Europe or a part of the world is approaching the heritage, and the South of Europe and the trend of the will of the South of Europe on the same topic. So, yeah, what is the difference?
Well, first of all, I have to say the North Europe have less. But no, I've said jokes. It's quite a completely different approach. So it's really nice that Northern archaeologists are able to work in Southern Europe, because the idea is that in Northern Europe, the monument, the heritage, is something that must be lived. It's something that must be active, must still be part of the landscape. It's not something to be segregated. It's part of it, it's something that is part of the community, or not to be part at all. And as I said, for them it's easy. They don't have a Colosseum, so if a Colosseum is difficult to integrate, actually, in modern Rome, I have to say. But it's something that I also work in Rome. For example, Porticus Emilia was really a good example. We work as Dutch, and from a Dutch institute, the idea was not only the excavation, but it was also how to integrate everything in the neighborhood. As I said, for us, the most important part was not to discover the Porticus Emilia. That was really funny. But at the end, when we are going away, people wanted that we stay, we continue. People were really pissed off, if you can use the term here, that we have to close everything. Yeah. And they wanted that we continue. And that for us was more, somehow more important than funny, because for one of the first time, archaeologists was not the enemy. And the idea is to work together and have a different understanding and to use it, not to leave it and close it under after walls, actually.
So they actually like this approach of integrating the monument, the heritage within the local community.
Absolutely. It's, the idea is that an heritage is not good as itself. I mean, not everything is a Colosseum, but even the Colosseum, it's an expression of Rome community and must be used. It's not just there. It's something that must be part of society. It's the modern society, not only expression of an older one.
Yeah, that's very interesting because, I always thought about that, and I thought that there was a reason behind that about keeping the thing like in a box. But actually, I'm happy to hear that the North Europe actually tends to integrate, as you were saying, the monument in the community. We have this extreme example of that you were actually mentioning about the Colosseum, that there is not even the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we discussed about that.
How it comes?
Well, we excavated it. We are guilty as archaeologists.
Okay, so they didn't find it like that.
No. It was absolutely excavated and it was not like that. Actually, the Colosseum was, I think, 100 years ago, inhabited. There are people living in the Colosseum.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. All the fascism actually is responsible for a lot of things that you see. I think that the fascism was also responsible for the destruction of a medieval part of the Fori Romani, and people were living on the Colosseum like was quite normal. Our idea of heritage is something quite new, I have to say. And also in Italy, the reuse, but it's still actually in a lot of our old city, the reuse of ancient ruins is still there. And so the central Rome was the same. Yeah. But for us, it's important because, especially Roman for Italy, it was some kind of part of a creation of collective memories as Italian.
Yeah, exactly. That's so you just kind of anticipate my question because why we do have, and now it comes up to my mind, the example of the Arapacis, no? For people that do not know, the Arapacis is this arch that is this kind of monument.
Yeah, it's...
Within a box. So it has been built a building to save, let's put it like that, the Arapacis. So yeah. This is for me the extreme example of, I mean, keeping the monument away of use, the way not
in a way. I have to confess that I understand your point. I'm a big fan of something in modern in Rome, in the center of Rome, but a lot of archaeologists criticize it. So,
but why indeed? And going back to the main point, why we from the southern Europe, Italy or Greece, have this tendency to keep the monument like an adoration altar?
Because we adorate it. It's clearly, this is the simple answer, is the right one. For Italy, Greece, we basically create our, especially for Italy, when we made Italy, we didn't have the idea, there is this interesting sentence of Cavour, we did Italy, now we have to do the Italians. And the way to do the Italians is exactly creating a collective memory. The last time that Italy was all together, it was under the Roman Empire. And so from Risorgimento to the fascism, the creation of this Roman heritage was really, really important. And so it's basically part of our religion in some way. Sorry to be so drastic, but in Northern Europe, they think about this. So it's time that we discuss that. So in every kind of religion, basically, the secret part is untouchable. And that goes with the Colosseum and the Apaches, actually.
So there is a funny thing just by talking with you and knowing a little bit more about archaeology. There is so related to this topic. There is a nice anecdote. I don't know if it can be can enter the category of anecdotes, but the Apaches was actually put in his maximum triumph for someone quite known, not very, very much liked, but...
Well, considering the time, someone could like him. Yeah. Personally,
someone still like him.
Unfortunately. but yes, Arapaces was restored, actually, was already discovered. Quite everyone, when in Rome they told you, actually, we found something new. Well, not always happen. Because we know a lot of things, especially for the biggest monument of Rome, we have more or less the idea where it was. And Arapaces or Domus Aurea, for example, we know their position from centuries. But Arapace was restored actually during the 20 years of the fascist period because the connection between Mussolini, the Dux, he used also some Roman terms to define himself, to Augustus, wanted to be clear. Mussolini wanted to connect himself to Augustus, and with such kind of irony, because Augustus was everything except a visible dictator, even if he was a dictator, of course. And Mussolini wanted actually to restore it in order to connect himself and connect the empire, his empire, with the Roman Empire, and creating actually this collective, finishing to creating this collective identity. And this is why the reason now we as archaeologists, we don't really excavate any more Romans. This connection with that fascism is really strong. So we excavate, we like to work on population after the Romans, population before the Romans, but it's not anymore on fashion to work on that.
this goes on and on because so the Sicilian now like to be related to Greeks.
Absolutely.
So it's going on. And
well, the Lega was started actually discussing this kind of nice Celtic point of view, and Sardinia has his own point of view, Sicily, but also Calabria. They say, yeah, but we are coming from the Greeks. Tarentum thinks that it's coming from the Spartans. If it's 3,000 years, are quite a lot to be connected with someone. Yeah. But it's something that in Italy is really present. It's part of our everyday.
So this goes back then, as you were perfectly describing, by the fact that Italy is a relatively young country.
Yes.
So we need the roots, like me and you, that we are now living in the Netherlands, that eating a piatto de pasta carbonara, it's like for us going back to our roots and we have
identity. Absolutely, we have. Exactly. Well, it's even better than everything that you can eat here in Netherlands sometimes. But except just it's exactly the same. We needed something. We are pretty. It's nice to think about that Italy doesn't exist yet. There is this nice song that I don't feel that I am Italian, but. With luck, or maybe I am, that is Gaber. And it's exactly give a good photograph of what it is Italy. It's a lot of different cultures that are mixed together. We feel ourselves Italian, I hope so. But we don't have a history of France, for example, even Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if Germany actually is some kind of young country as us, that have a completely different history than us. We basically are divided, and the different Italian countries were having a lot of parties when another Italian country was destroyed, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was something that was quite typical for Italy.
So now we're gonna thank you very much. And actually, you touch a very interesting part we were talking about earlier. The role of the archaeologist within a certain specific period of the history. So what do you call the when we had this small talk in front of a glass of wine about the archaeology of the archaeology.
Oh.
The archaeology of the archaeologists. Sorry.
Ah, that's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, but probably let's leave a bit of suspense for the audience, because we're gonna put this nice track from Morgan. It's called Altrove, which in Italian means everywhere, probably better said, everywhere else, which fits pretty much with the topic, because I mean, archaeology is about everywhere, every period, every place,
or no place,
exactly. So enjoy this this track from Morgan, Altrove. Sorry, there was some advertise that I was not expecting. So in a few seconds, in the meanwhile, Matteo.
Yes.
So you want to advertise something?
Oh.
No, we start. So probably we're gonna advertise something.
Yes.
Però, cosa vuol dire però? Mi sveglio col piede sinistro, quello giusto. Forse già lo sai, che a volte la follia sembra l'unica via per la felicità. C'era una volta un ragazzo chiamato pazzo e diceva sto meglio in un pozzo che su un piedistallo. Oggi ho messo la giacca dell'anno scorso, conosco.
Lascia visto se visto.
Svincolarsi dalle convinzioni, dalle pose, dalle posizioni. Svincolarsi dalle convinzioni, dalle pose, dalle posizioni.
Lascio che le cose mi portino altrove.
Lascio che le cose mi portino altrove.
Se scorgessi troppo il capo, non vedrei tutto questo. Una semplice croce, più supposta che realmente veduta, messa lì dall'abitudine, potrebbe farmi andare così avanti nel tempo da dimenticare qualsiasi cosa, anche la libertà. Lo spazio è regolare, non so distinguere, quasi non posso chiuderlo nella scatola. Sotto di me, specie mai viste, che vorrebbero raggiungermi. Ma qui è troppo alto per loro. Dovranno accontentarsi di alti ciuffi per allontanare l'estinzione. Pensavo che da quassù di poter vedere tutto, invece la primitiva purezza è rimasta lì, nascosta. Forse fuggita in tempo per poter avere ancora la possibilità di sognare, di toccare il cielo.
La descrizione di un attimo, le convinzioni che cambiano. E crolla la fortezza del mio debole per te. Anche se non sei più sola, perché sola non sai stare. E credi che dividersi la vita sia normale. Ma la mia memoria scivola, mi ricordo limpida. La trasmissione dei pensieri e la sensazione che in un attimo qualunque cosa pensassimo in due poteva succedere. E poi cos'è successo? Aspettami oppure dimenticami. Ci rivediamo adesso dopo quasi 5 anni. Mi hanno detto che stai male, che sei diventata pazza, ma io so che sei normale. Mi chiedi di partire adesso, perché i numeri e il futuro non ti fanno preoccupare. Vorrei poterti credere, sarebbe molto più facile rincontrarci nei pensieri. Distesi come se fossimo sospesi ancora nell'attimo in cui poteva succedere. E poi cos'è successo? Aspettami oppure dimenticami. Ci rivediamo presto fra almeno altri 5 anni. Emozione fortissima.
Welcome back to the Bold Scientist Under the Shower. Do you like the title of my show?
Absolutely. I think that it's one of the most productive part of the day, actually, especially on ideas.
No, it actually comes from the Italian title is uno scienziato calvo sotto la doccia, perché era legata a Calvino. Vabbè, insomma, i radioascoltatori la sanno la storia, non la ripeterò, poi te la dico dopo.
Absolutely, yes.
I will tell you later. Okay, so this was Tino Mancino, la descrizione di un attimo. I choose this track because in the video there was this Valerio Mastandrea dressed and acting as a primitive, so I think it was pretty much fitting with the topic of today. So let's go to the core of the show, namely what are you doing, actually? So everyone, I think, is thinking, yeah, whatever, blah, 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 heritage. But what Matteo Marlino is doing every day, so he's really excavating with his hands.
Yeah. That's, no.
Before, sorry. Yes. I forgot to ask you something. So just briefly, is that true that an archaeology changes, or the ethic approach, or the professional approach changes depending on the period that an archaeologist is living? So, namely, we saw before that the Ara Pacis was restored during the fascism. So, is in summary, is an archaeologist also influenced politically?
Yes, we are people. Our interpretation are basically changing from time to time. It's really, really nice to do the archaeology of archaeologists or history of archaeologists, because we try to understand the past, and we are far from understanding the past, I have to confess. And it's really nice to see actually different interpretation, different approaches. For example, we discuss about the fascist period, and you see that during the fascist period, they basically neglected all the medieval time.
Mm-hmm.
That is now, for example, thank you to Manacord, to other illustrious scholars, actually, was in really in fashion in Italy during the 80s, for example. So yes, archaeologists are changing, and what we said, actually, we understand everything probably 20 years later. Will we change our idea? Someone has to change our ideas, because we are just basically try to have archaeology is some kind of cognitive process and goes with association. So what we know of the society influence, actually, as I said, in the fascist period of all the Risorgimento, Romans were really, really important. At the moment, especially with this kind of association with fascism, are less important. If you are able to read, basically, a lot of projects that are going on in Italy are more focused on Greeks, and not even Greeks anymore, but, for example, Italian populations. And that was, for example, just in the 20s, was something that was not even thinkable. So yes, absolutely.
Great. Thank you very much. And but now let's go back to the initial question. What the beep are you doing?
What I'm doing? I'm literally excavating.
So I remember that you have been all over the world. I remember from this ambassador meeting that you were describing the Syria excavation.
Can I say that?
Puglia, Rome, we said it before.
Yeah, I started as a student of this small university, University of Udine. We have I was part of a big excavation in central Syria, but I was there for 7 years, 7 summers, I have to say. When I arrived here in Netherlands, I'm still a Near East archaeologist, so I start to work actually with ENINO, Netherlands Institute for Nabi Austen, that is a Dutch Institute for Near East, in Kurdistan, Iraqi Kurdistan. That was a really beautiful and calm area. If you don't see that is basically in one of the most terrible war zone that you can imagine, it's quite difficult to explain to everyone that nothing is really happening in northern Iraqi Kurdistan.
Oh my God, you're giving us a news.
No, it's, I mean, the southern and the central part of Iraq, it's more or less a disaster. And the southern part of Turkey, that is the Turkish Kurdistan, was a problem. And more or less for a lot of years, the Iraqi Kurdistan was this kind of beautiful island where nothing happened. It was this interesting, really funny scholar actually, Jason Orr from Harvard University, that in one conference show us that there are less killed people, there were less killed people in Kurdistan than in United States. So when his mother was asking me
United
not
States
to
cults. In particular.
Yes. And his mother was asking him why was going to Kurdistan was not too dangerous. I say, no, actually, it's dangerous to stay here. So I have to move.
So what are you doing? Going back to the question.
Yes. I'm trying basically to do my... My specialization, sorry, is more or less field archaeology. So I'm basically usually take care of a part of the excavation. And now becoming a bit old, I try basically to do everything what an archaeologist should do. So basically from finding the site that happened in a lot of different way with what we call survey, but with a lot of new technologies. We involve drone. Satellite image, for example.
So that's the first phase. Finding
the site in every single way that you can, that can goes with interviews with people of area, that is really useful, to desecrated satellites by satellite, for example. A lot of archaeology of Near East is really developing because there is this not anymore secret satellite that is called Corona. And every archaeologist now use these old pictures of a tell, Syrian tell, that are basically the archaeological site. Or, for example, you use magnetometry that give you more or less, really more or less, an idea what you can find inside. And this is basically how you find the site.
Okay, so there are also tools, technological tools, that you can use to see more or less what you might find.
Yeah, it seems like that seems really easy, but every time that I think about that, it's like to play at the casino. It works, you have a jackpot, but it's not always working. Otherwise, it's too easy. But yeah. This is not something that we like in archaeology, something easy. But yes, it is a lot of technology and archaeology that is basically an old science in some way, especially for methodology, is changing a lot in the last 10 years from all the digital revolution is finally affecting us. So everyone has a drone, everyone uses a lot of picture, 3D reconstruction is one of the things that is really changing our field finally.
I'm really interested about the 3D reconstruction because you talked about that at the ambassador meeting. But then you are there and so you really excavate like excavate, or you take care that so you have a specific procedure in order to not, I don't know, to not break something, some pottery or something?
Both. We don't know that things that is one of the most beautiful things in archaeology is that you don't know what you will find actually, what is under the ground. So you have basically to guess if you must use a bulldozer, that we use a bulldozer, or if you have to use a small trowel.
So it's not this romantic idea,
absolutely,
like Indiana Jones kind of thing, or...
Well, he destroyed a lot of bodies.
The drum with this little thing.
Absolutely not. A lot of archaeological excavation, even in the center of Rome, what is modern, meaning really modern, last 20 years, that is usually the first matter, is all what is basically plowing, is removed by a huge bulldozer. And you have an archaeologist that is checking. So the difficult thing of archaeology is trying to put together the bulldozer and the small trowel, for example, that is a typical archaeological tool, that are completely two different spectrum.
Okay. So depending where you are, what you are expecting to find and so on.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, you cannot really think that you can excavate everything with small tools because no one will pay you. And this is really important. And a Roman citizen, you can understand the problem of an archaeological excavation that continue forever.
And this goes also, I mean, online. When you are in the site, you are directing, managing an excavation. So you have to also decide online where to excavate.
Absolutely.
Depending on the results of the actual excavation, the present excavation.
Absolutely. You decide, basically, it's an ongoing process. You don't have any idea what is going on, what will go on the next day. So you're basically guessing. Our job is, as we discussed it actually with Italian ambassador, is to acquire a lot of experience and to apply this experience like different case study to every time that everything can happen. So if you see a wall, you know exactly, yeah, probably it can be this kind of wall, and I have basically to pay attention that is going in that direction.
So probably there is a wall, so probably close to a wall, normally there is another structure.
Absolutely, you have already the idea. For example, in Rome was really interesting, or boring if you want, because a lot of Roman archaeology is basically connected with Vitruvius or is connected with literary sources. So when we found a couple of walls, they already have the idea, okay, this must be this kind of shape. And say, no, absolutely not. Yes, it's written somewhere, come on. This is basically, and so when we start in Rome to find this kind of monument in Horea, that it was a storage area, we say, yes, this is the period, this is the area, and this is already the shape that you're expecting.
Oh, wow.
And then it's a matter of, is preserved or not, but more or less you have already the idea what is going to happen. It's not applicable all the time, but these kind of models are basically something that we work with.
Wow. Wow, very nice. I mean, very, very, I think, exciting to work like that, to be surprised every time.
Yeah, but it's always different. I mean, not everything is Pompeii. Pompeii is this kind of frozen moment. And so you have more or less an idea. But the beautiful thing of history is people change, monument change. So on one wall, that it was basically part of this kind of structure, then we start something else that is completely different on the top. And so you have thousands of different combinations.
True. So Puglia is not only nice to go in vacation at,
but it's absolutely nice to go in vacation. I have to stress the
absolutely
fact.
A bacio all'usalento, we say in Italian.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I remember from your talk that it's also very interesting in terms of
absolutely
heritage.
Yeah, Puglia is one. Everyone, the first time I remember that I was in Puglia, I thought, yes, South Italy will be problematic. And Puglia was a beautiful experience. And this is something that is part of one of my houses at the moment.
Oh.
I'm leaving tomorrow for Puglia.
Okay. By car, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So that's, I thank you I even more to be here, because I know that you had to wake up at 5, so it's already...
I will be there for more than 1 month, and I'm leaving for the Puglia, and will direct actually the excavation for the Vrije Universiteit of Amsterdam of a site. And the beautiful thing of this site is that we started actually from scratch. Actually, my professor excavated actually the site for 25 years, and now we went basically from the excavation that is still ongoing to the heritage, let's call it like that, approach. So the idea that we had the possibility is to involve population from the start. I have to say that is not all my job, but there are people from Puglia, there is an association and a company that is working all the year there.
First of all, what are we talking about exactly? So which kind of excavation is that?
We talk about the city. Okay. And it's a pre-Roman city. As I say, Romans are not anymore cool. So we go actually on the pre-Roman population. And the city that was destroyed under Hannibal Wars, probably. And it's not really big. I mean, everything is not really big compared to Rome. It's just 50 hectares. And the beautiful thing is that it's not because it's the most important site of area. And in this, I'm really not an archaeologist, because every time I just speak with an archaeologist, I tell you what I'm doing is really important. No, in this case, archaeologically, it's not
because
so important.
Because you are so humble, Matteo.
Absolutely. I'm becoming Dutch. but no, it's not so important, but it's important what you can do. Meaning that you can excavate freely, but you also can work with population. So you basically can obtain the thing that the people is some kind of reappropriation of archaeological site. So we always present, when my professor actually went there, and that is still the boss of excavation, went there 25 years ago, the area was in a known as an area for dead people. There are even, well, horror stories of area, because there are a lot of graves, so a lot of tombaroli, grave diggers going there, and all these are seen kind of popular stories of area. At the moment, we open, and are really proud that we are able to open an archaeological park, that is not only an archaeological park, because, as I said, we are finding really nice stuff. So it's really nice to come to visit us and or follow us on Facebook, so, Muro Tenente.
Muro Tenente.
Absolutely. This is my reclam part.
yeah, we were searching before for an advertiser. We have it now.
Yes, now we have it. but it's really important, because also concert will take go on there. Ah, cool. There are people that are going to run every single morning, and people that are making historical reconstructions, but children are able to play there, for example. It's a place that was outside the city, and now it's a part of the memory and part of the mental map of a lot of people of these cities that are close by. And this is one of the most important things. We cannot really think that we have a Colosseum all the time, but we have to deal with archaeological. If you want to preserve these kind of small realities, we have to do something kind of mixed approach.
That's very nice, actually, because, I mean, people normally think, myself as well, think that archaeologists just are there excavating, finding stuff, and probably putting in a museum. But actually, the message that you are giving us now, it's very important to, I mean, to go back to the roots, to get back, to integrate this monument, these old cities, in the new cities, so people also understand where they come from, which is, I think, quite important.
Yeah, it's nice working. I mean, I'm an Italian and working with Dutch student on a Dutch team, so it's not only integrating the monument in the city, but also integrating us as an archaeologist as a part of heritage, and this is the first step. I knew a lot of Dutch people that became more or less Italians, and a really good friend of mine, even Mary, actually, close by with a Dutch wife, with a Dutch girlfriend, sorry. So this is this kind of integration. Start with us that we like the area, and we are basically adopt ourselves. We are adopted to the area, and then actually we try to integrate what we do with a population, with a landscape, but this, we create basically another landscape, and this is the most challenging and beautiful part.
That's very nice. And just with regard to Puglia and to these beautiful stories you told us, I want to also give a gift to Puglia with the next track, which is Ballo di San Vito from Vinicio Capossella.
Alla braccia e fiaccole danzanti, lamelle dondolanti sul dorso della chiesa fiammeggiante, vino, bancarelle, terra arsa e rossa, terra di sud, terra di sud, terra di confine, terra di dove finisce la terra e il continente, se ne fischiano il vento,
e continenti se ne infischia non il vento. Mustafa viene di Africa e qui soffia il vento d'Africa e ci dice tenetemi fermo e ci dice tenetemi fermo. Il ballo dei sandite non mi passa, oh il ballo dei sandite non mi passa. La desolazione tira nella sera, se soffiata via col vento, se soffiata via col rum, se soffiata via da dove era ammorzata. Vecchi giovani pizzicati, vecchi giovani pizzicati, dalla taranta, dalla taranta, dalla tarantolata. Cieco che chiude, cieco che apre, cieco che stringe, cieco che stringe, cieco che abbraccia e poi ti scaccia. Il ballo di sapete non mi passa, oh il ballo di sapete non mi passa. E dentro il cerchio del voodoo mi scaravento, e li vedo che la vita è quel momento. Scaccia, scaccia Satanasso, scaccia il diavolo che ti passo, scaccia il male che c'ho dentro, non sto fermo. Scaccia il male che c'ho dentro, non sto fermo. A noi due balli alla danza delle spade, fino allo squarcio rosso d'alba. Nessuno che mi aspetta, nessuno che mi aspetta, nessuno che mi aspetta o mi sospetta. Il curato non se ne cura, il ragioniere non ragiona, Santo Paolo non perdona. No, il ballo dei sapete non mi passa, oh il ballo dei sapete non mi passa. Questo è il male che mi porto da 30 anni addosso, fermo non so stare in nessun posto. Rotola, rotola, rotola il masso, rotola addosso, rotola in basso. Il muschio non si cresce su quel sasso, e il muschio non si cresce su quel sasso. Scaccia, scaccia Satanasso, scaccia il diavolo che ti passa. Le notti si
Thanks to Vinicio Capostella that gave us this masterpiece, Il ballo di San Vito, that we dedicated to the population of Muro Tenente. We have probably 1 minute and a half. We have to say bye to our radio listener. But before that, why the Dutch government or the Italian government should keep supporting you, Matteo? What is the importance of archaeology nowadays?
Oh, except
try to be smart, try to be smart, try
yes.
to be
except for all the scientific reasons that are completely boring, I can understand. And it's different for every single research, so I will not go in there. It is some kind of personal experience. Give us some insight or where we are. We are basically excavating the past and understanding the present. It's really more easy to understand what is going on. And especially on local level, not on the big part. Archaeology is not the history of the big people, but is of the small communities. And so if you want to understand these communities, or even the modern one, archaeology is perfect.
Oh my God. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your...
So we have money now, I suppose.
Yes, I will give it to you. So thank you very much to Matteo Berlino, and thanks to Radio Onda Italiana that host us once again. Bye, and see you next month.
Bye-bye.